And welcome to episode number 14 of the Quaid Things podcast. We are here at the Blue Light 1806 Buddy Holly Avenue here in Lubbock, Texas. And a big thing has happened. We actually have our first official sponsor of the Quaid Things podcast. I'm going to run through their ad real fast. It's my friends over at Supply Chain Management here in Lubbock. Their phone number is 855-745-4200, and that is the nationwide toll-free call line. Of course, if you are local here in the 806 area, you just got to switch out the area code, man, 806-745-4200. They are a third-party logistics trucking company and can haul you anything from California to Pennsylvania, man. They are they're killer. They do local, regional, and on the road. And best part is they are hiring right now, 24/7 workers, part-time. Their hours are flexible, and they're also looking for full-time work. So, I mean, if you're looking for something to do, those are the guys to hit up. Of course, they are also hiring CDLA trained drivers right now. Look them up online, supplychainmgt.net. And again, thank you so much to Supply Chain Management. Those guys are killer. And go ahead and go on with the podcast. My guest this week, my dude, Mr. Zach McGinn. How the fuck are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Dude, doing well. Glad to see you up here in Lubbock, man. You've been playing up here a couple of times over the summer. Unfortunately, yeah. I was not able to catch the shows. I was out of the area code, but good fucking news, man. We're back.
Well, welcome back.
Dude, it feels good, man. So what have you been up to, man? What's new?
Nothing really, you know. Been ranching a little bit. Had some new kiddos 8 or 9 months ago.
Heck,
9
yeah.
Months now, actually.
They're getting older. Twins, right?
Yeah, twins. And then I've just been kind of riding, you know. I'm potentially going to be going in to record a new solo record this spring, maybe putting it out in the summertime. So
nice.
Other than that, playing a show here or two.
Where are you wanting to record at?
I'm gonna do it in Stephenville.
Nice. There, yeah, with Ben,
really,
and Josh.
Yeah, I don't think there's really any other place for me, you know.
No. Well, of course, you got your start there in Stephenville. You were a Tarleton student, correct?
Yep.
And I mean, tell us how you got started playing music down there. Of course, you've been playing music since you were young, about 10-ish, correct?
Yeah, I started when I was 10 or 11. Had some friends of mine that were playing in bands in South Texas, and kind of moved down there and was playing around for a little bit. And then I moved up to Stephenville to go to college, and I actually met Josh Serrato back in the day down in South Texas.
Back before his hair touched his shoulders.
Yeah. And, you know, he's wearing bandanas and shit like that. But, yeah, so we had a little band back in the day down in South Texas, and we actually moved up to Stephenville together and started playing some tunes before Dolly Shine or Six Market ever started. And, man, I think I don't even remember the first band I went out and saw. Saw some band at Bostock's, and I was like, fuck, dude, I can do that.
Hell yeah, man. Was it the showmanship? Was it the songwriting aspect? Like, do you remember what it was about that show that turned you on?
I think it was just all of it, man. It was just, I've always had an interest in writing and playing music, and it really just kind of got my gears turning, and that's just kind of where it started. You know, Stephenville is such a musical hotbed that, I don't know.
Yeah, man, there's some great music kicking off there, man. Of course, I lived there over the summer, and was fortunate enough to get to know a lot of the local musicians down there, and there's just some killer cats, man. Really are. It's definitely a hotbed. I mean, there's some great acts that go over there, you know, there's some killer venues, but I don't know, man. There's something about the Stephenville scene right now that needs a fire. And I don't know what it is. I'm not talking shit. But there's a lot of fucking wood there, man. Somebody just needs to light a fire. You know what I mean?
I know it, dude. See, when I was there, it was heavily encouraged. You know, it was a really cool thing to be
right.
In a band. And there was a shit ton of good songwriters and a lot of musicians around. And that's what fueled my fire. I think we just kind of, you know, fueled each other. And, you know, out of that little group of guys, you know, there were several bands that formed, myself and Clayton Landy and Ben mm-hmm. Hussey and Josh Serrato, you know, among others.
Right. Of course, you know, Ben also is a first-time padre of twins. Have you guys, like, co-daddied anything? Like, both being first-time parents, both doing it with twins? Like, have y'all bounced material off of each other? Like, how to do it?
Dude, Ben had his kids, you know, several months before I did. So
right.
There's been numerous times when I call Ben and I just say, what the fuck do I need to do?
Right.
So, yeah, he's been a really good, you know, guy to bounce ideas off of and just ask questions on shit I don't know.
Dude, Ben's a great source of information for just about anything. Going to have him on the podcast around the first of the year up in Steamboat. Really excited nice. About that. But so you said you're wanting to record this new album. Have you been writing new material recently?
I have been writing a few new tunes. I'm probably going to look at putting like 10 or 12 new songs on this record. So
fuck yeah, man. So do you have a title for it yet? Or if you do, are you allowed to discuss it? Or
I don't have a title at the moment, so I guess I really can't discuss it.
Don't force it, man. You know, it's like
I'm
a
not,
fart.
Man.
You force it, it'll be shit. You
exactly.
know?
Yeah, I'm not going to rush anything. This is the first time I've just been able to write for a record and not really feel pressured. So I'm feeling really good. I may try a new tune or two out tonight.
Might
Never
as
know.
Well, man. Of course, I know a few people that are going to be coming out, man. And, you know, you and the groups that you've been with that have been here have always been a draw. And I don't know, I'm really excited for the show tonight. What else do you got going on, like, in the future? You know, are you looking at doing any, are you going to go to Steamboat? Like, I mean, just to go, to network, to...
No, not this year. I always told myself I wasn't going to go to Steamboat until I was playing Steamboat.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I might go next year just to even network, you know. It's such a great place. Hell, it's just like Lubbock or going to Larry Joe Taylor, mm-hmm. you know, anything like
half
that.
Half of it's networking.
Yeah, like, half of it's absolutely networking.
Dude, I go to LJT every year and everybody's like, dude, you're literally killing yourself. And I am. You know, I lose on average of 5 to 7 pounds a year at Larry Joe Taylor Fest because I don't take care of myself. But... It's networking. Yeah, you're stand up all night drinking, but it's with people you're gonna, you know, be doing business with
yeah,
later.
Like absolutely.
It's that kind of aspect. How has touring affected your networking, man? Of course, you've been on the road, you know, with Dolly Shine, and you've been doing a lot of your own solo stuff now. What connections have you been able to establish in here with the band that has helped you with your solo stuff now?
You know, everything that I'm able to use with my solo stuff was acquired just from years of touring, man. Everybody that I've met, venue owners, managers, radio stations, DJs, just people that come out to the shows, mm-hmm. just the whole shebang, dude. Touring allowed me to meet anybody and everybody that I really needed to.
Dude, I think touring, or even if you're not, you know, touring for musicians or songwriters, even if you're not with a band or doing your own solo stuff, like I think it's super important to get out and, like, if you're an up-and-coming singer-songwriter, go TM for somebody for a minute. Go sling mm-hmm. merch, because you're making those connections. You're getting that experience of being on the road and tearing and building up your own shit and working a crowd and selling your merch and, you know, not getting too shit-faced to drive back to the hotel. Like, it's just good know-how.
Yeah, touring is really how you sharpen the tools, man. That's where you learn to build your craft.
Absolutely.
Anybody who's looking to get into this business, I strongly suggest getting your ass out on the road and just doing it.
Agreed, man. It's there's nothing to it but to do it. So of course you're living down around San Angelo now.
Yeah.
What's the music scene like down there?
It's West Texas. Yeah. I don't know what all I can say about it. It's good, man.
Judson Cole's out of the area.
Yeah, there's some good acts that are out of there. Cleet Bradley, they used to play with Buckshot. Mm-hmm. He's out of that area. There's pretty good up-and-coming songwriters. Kramer LaBarge is out of San Angelo, Texas. He's a good artist. And there's a few others, you know, in and out of the scene down there, just kind of picking and grinning and trying to get in any way they can.
Dude, that's what's up. And, of course, you're down there running, is it your family's ranch or the family ranch?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, what's it like cowboying all day? Like, I mean, I grew up on a ranch. I know some punchy-ass motherfuckers. I am not. I don't claim to be a cowboy. I can sit on a horse just fucking fine, but that's about it. So, like, I've always had the interest in, you know, raising cows and being horseback all day and all that stuff. It's just not for me, but I think it's cool as shit, man. So what's it like for you day in and day out?
Man, it's hard work, but it's just like playing music or anything like that. You got to love it, eat it, sleep, breathe it to want to do it, but it provides a lifestyle for myself and my family that I couldn't really imagine, you know, doing anything else as a job, you know,
right.
per se. Getting to wake up in the morning and knowing what you've got to do that day and getting your shit done and, yeah.
Hell yeah. So is it just a beef operation or do y'all have horses as well?
It's cow-calf operation strictly. You know, we've got ranch horses, but just to work with cattle.
Right on. Do you have much horse training under your belt?
I do. You know, I've ridden a lot of colts. I don't really have any at my house right now. But I started a shit ton of colts for a guy down the road who's got a horse operation. I probably used to start between 75 and 80 colts a year for that guy.
Right on, man. So are you going to be doing some of that come first of the year?
You know, I might. I've had a few folks call me to be interested in bringing some colts, so we'll just see what happens.
Hell yeah. Have you gotten pretty broke up breaking colts or not yet?
Man, I've been doing it for a long time. I've been very lucky to not get too busted up.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've all seen them old cats. My my mom's third husband was a horse trainer, and, you know, I've seen him break a bunch of shit. He's a roper. I've seen him lose his thumb, all that stuff, and I saw him about this time last year. He lives around Fort Sumner, New Mexico, and I was in the area. I hadn't seen him for a few years. I just figured I'd, you know, go see him, check on him, and he lives out on a ranch out in the middle of fucking nowhere out there. And went out there, and I mean, just to see him like limp out the front door and like kind of ease his way off the porch, it's like, dude, I mean, he's not in his 50s yet, and is I'm pretty damn broke up, man. And it's a sad thing to see. It's like seeing some of those rock stars that yeah. You know, like a reverse Keith Richards, you know, mm-hmm. Like he's gonna outlive us all. But then there's those cats that are in their 30s that look like they're in their 50s because they've been, you know, partying like that or whatever. But
yeah, you know, ranching and cowboying in general, shit, it's a hard ass life. You think, you know, if you're breaking colts, you know, you're stepping on an 1,100-pound animal.
Right. That
doesn't necessarily want you on
the
back.
Fuck off.
But, yeah, it's rough. I've had a few injuries, but thankfully nothing too bad.
Heck, yeah, man. So, like I said, you're at the ranch most of the time. Who, mm-hmm. You know, is your old lady looking after things when you're out for the weekend or, like, this evening? Or do you have hands out there that are helping you out as well?
Really, it's just me and my dad that run the place.
Okay.
You know, so it's pretty much a two-man operation. My wife kind of stays at home and takes care of the kiddos and feeds all the animals around the house whenever I'm gone. Nice. And that's a full-time job.
That's
a
good
itself.
Woman right there, too. Yeah. Hey, dude, if she opens gates, she's a total keeper.
Yeah, she puts up with a lot of shit, man.
Dude, those are the ones you got to get a hold of, man. That's what I'm saying. So, Rachel is your wife's name, correct?
Yeah.
How long have y'all been together?
We've been married for almost 3 years now.
Nice.
So together for about 5.
Congrats, man.
Thank you. She's all right. I guess I'll keep her. You know?
Yeah, it's more of the opposite. It's how long they keep you sort of thing. You know, that's, I don't know, the ranch life's hard to begin with, but tour life on top of that, man, that's going to be nuts. Are you trying to build like a pretty badass, like a tour, if you will, for when you get your album kicked off? Like, are you thinking about that yet, or...
Yeah, I'm probably going to do some stuff. I haven't really thought too in-depth about it yet. I'm just kind of letting this thing take me wherever it wants to go, you know, for the moment. I've got a few shows booked for after the first of the year. I'm going up to Elko, Nevada in February, and I'm kind of stoked
yeah.
about that for the National Cowboy Poetry Gathering.
Dude, that's awesome, man. I have my cousin. I call him my uncle because he's quite a bit older than me. He's like a second cousin, something like that. But he's the one who gave me the guitar that I have now, and he used to play with Red Steagall and Baxter Black, and you know, knows all those cats, and he's done a lot of the cowboy poetry, you know, cowboy symposium sorts of things, and that, dude, that's a whole different beast compared to what we're doing in Texas country, man.
It is,
or
you know,
Texas music, if you will.
I'm really kind of fucking surprised they asked me to come do this thing. I really don't know that my music's going to fit, you know, into that genre, but hell, I'm excited to go.
I think your music, personally, I think it fits in a great crossroad of the two. You know what I mean? It's still Texas country as fuck, but if you really want to break it down, it's, for lack of better words, like, it is cowboy, it is ranchy, it's, you know, it's something that culture can get a hold of, you know? I thought, like, a perfect example, Randall King. I think, you know, I don't think necessarily he fits so much into the cowboy gathering sort of thing, but he's, you know, he's just enough old school honky tonk that slides in, you know, and his subject matter fits in well with, you know, the rural community as well as your drunk college kids, you know, and the people like me. So it's, I think your musical product has enough diversity in and of itself that the listening group is going to be diverse. So I'm stoked that you get to do this, man. I've never got to go to Elko or any of the big cowboy gathering sort of things. They do a symposium in Ruidoso every year that I went to
yeah.
when I was a kid, and that's really, really about fucking it, man. Been to a couple of Don Edwards and Waddy Mitchell shows, but...
Well, hell yeah. That's pretty badass, old Don Edwards. You know the Coyote song?
Oh, dude. Fuck, have you heard John Young cover that song?
I have not.
It will blow your fucking mind. Dude, I mean, with his... range vocally. I mean, his the woo yips and all that, dude, kills it. Absolutely kills it. So
I'm curious to hear that. Is it as good as Don Edwards?
I mean, he's not Don Edwards, but when I heard John Young play this, I was sitting at his house. Of course, you know, I was living down in Stephenville this summer. But I mean, John and Kim, his wife, they were my anchors, man. There was my time down there was a bit of a whirlwind, and so I needed a weight. And John and Kim, you know, shout out to them. They're some of the most loving people I know. They were my weight. But there was an evening we were just sitting at the house, they'd cooked dinner, we'd ate, and we were just hanging out, gonna watch some Netflix, and John's picking on his guitar a little bit, and he starts playing that song, and oh my god, the way he did it just in that setting, dude. I mean, I was damn near in tears. Like, it was just incredible.
Dude, John Young in general, that dude can make you cry.
Oh,
such
God.
A great voice.
Dude, the voice and his playing style, like, you can't categorize him in anything. He's not soul. He's not folk. He's not alternative. He's not country. He's just fucking John Young. And
yeah.
I think that's an incredible feature to have.
One can only be so lucky.
I mean, absolutely. Like, I don't know, I had something really fancy to say there, but I lost it, whatever. but of course, you know, your writing style, a lot of the songs that you wrote when Dolly Shine was still together, that music to me is timeless. I think it's, comparable to Six Market Boulevard. You know, Clayton's doing his own thing now, but there will always be the Six Market stuff, you know what I mean? And
sure.
Like, just, you know, it's like building your own personal life discography, you know what I mean? And I think dude, Spinning My Wheels is still one of my fucking favorite songs ever. And but for me, it's applicable. Like that's one thing I enjoy about your writing is, I don't know. We're going to get there, I guess. I don't know if it all comes from personal experience or if just the way you look at situations or things like that. But son of a bitch, man, you hit points.
A little bit of both. That one was pretty personal. But I've always been of the opinion that you should just write from your gut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about picking up a guitar and, you know, just being able to feel anything and everything that you write. Like holding your guitar up against your chest and just hitting that big A minor chord, just hearing it go, you know, feeling it all the way from your bones all the way down to your toes. Man, it's just about writing songs that mean something to you and being able to sit around and play them for a few friends of yours, you know, and hopefully it means something to them too. And I don't ever really try to have too many close-knit points to my songs. I like to say what I need to say, but I also like to leave it open to suggestion and let everybody take something different from
right.
the song. Let them make up their own mind what that story is about. Deep down, you know, I know what they're about.
Right, but you leave it general enough to where people can apply it to their own points, and it's
yeah.
not so specific, I guess, right?
Absolutely.
Dude, that's... I can't write. I mean, I'm not a songwriter, but there's no way I could sit down and break songwriting down to that many levels. Like, this is what I want to do, but if I change it like this, it's going to be this better, you know. My brain doesn't work that way, so it's...
Man, I've
that's
never
one reason
really...
I love to talk to you guys. I'm hoping it will rub off on me just so I can see shit a different way. Like,
I've never really got too in-depth, you know. On some songs I do. Sometimes I can be a little over-analytical, and I don't like to push myself to that point. At the end of the day, it's about picking a guitar up and making shit up.
Heck yeah.
You know what I mean? And saying what's on your mind, you know, something you want to get off your chest that, you know, maybe other people could relate to. And for me, that's what it boils down to. That's why I've always loved writing songs and touring. Being in the studio is probably my favorite part. You know, just watching a song come from your bedroom and, you know, giving it some wings and letting it take life. And then getting to go out on the road.
Stuff.
Yeah, then getting to go out on the road and play those songs and see what it does for people, you know?
Yeah, well, what's a more satisfying feeling for you, man? Seeing the people, seeing the words to your songs from the stage or seeing that song come together in the studio? Like, which one puts a bigger smile on your face?
Shit, I don't know. I think they're equal.
That's fair.
You know? They're both beautiful parts of music for me. My two favorite parts is making that song in the studio and then seeing what it does to people. But I don't really, you know, have a lot of words to explain that to you. It's a feeling you just, yeah.
Yeah, you just know when you get it. You
yeah,
know?
That's it.
So, you're going to be doing the solo stuff here soon. Are you going to be putting together some full band shows, looking to put a band back together eventually, or are
no.
you just kind of going to let that happen when it does?
if and when it does happen, you know, I would be open to it. Right now, I'm just really wanting to do the songwriting thing and get out and just play a little bit here and there and just get my songs out to people. You know, I think that's the most important thing. I don't care if I ever even get back, you know, to the status that Dolly Shine was or whatever. That's really not what's important to me.
I mean, dude, that's a shadow that you're already casting. So it's not like you don't have to one-up yourself on that, dude. You've already done it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's and I don't want to try to, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are probably going to be a little judgmental and probably definitely have their opinions, you know, on me coming out with a solo record.
Well, fuck those
you
people.
Know, for whatever reasons, but fuck, I'm just putting out music, man.
Dude, and that's isn't that the point of happiness, is doing what you want to do to be happy?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, Ben and I discussed this after the band broke up, and
Ben played with y'all for a little while, yeah, towards the end, correct?
Yeah, he did. And Ben and I have been longtime friends, you know, for over a decade now, and he's kind of been my rock, you know, a guy that I've gone to for, you know, a lot of advice or just to shoot the shit or, you know, whatever, right, with. And you know, he said something that stuck with me, and I probably won't get it exactly like he said it, but I've just kind of thought about it, you know, a lot, because I really kind of beat myself up, you know, over the band breaking up. And then he just said, man, it's just music, you know, people, yeah, you know, that band might stop or, you know, whatever, stuff like that, but you're a musician, you make music, that's what you do, you know, keep doing that shit. So whatever it is, just keep driving.
Dude, and that's like, I mean, like you said, that's the whole fucking point of this, is like when you decide this is what I'm gonna do, this is where it's at, you know. It's like people who, I mean, starting a band's no different than opening a business.
Sure,
like,
it's the same thing.
It is. And what you have to do is make yourself wake up every fucking morning and mm-hmm. open your fucking shop and count your register out and blah blah blah. It's no different. You've got to wake up and apply your tools and do your job. And it's, you know, but where it gets tricky is that it is still art in a way, and it's still, yep, self-expression. And so, like, that's just a hard line to walk? Because I mean, it would, I'm not gonna lie, it beat me to shit.
Yeah, you know, it is. It took me a long time to really learn how the business aspect of this thing works, but my drive always, you know, kept me waking up every morning and just busting ass and hustling, because I knew there was somebody out there who probably wanted it a little bit more and was going to work a little harder. So I made it my damn goal just to wake up every morning and want it more than I did the day before and work harder than I did the day before. But as far as, I never put the business before the music, and you know, that could be a downfall, you mm-hmm. know, in some situations, but I've always been a big fan of letting the creative side happen. And then once that gets going, once you get to a point where you need the business,
right,
keep your shit in line.
You know, is that what advice you would give to, I don't know, aspiring singer-songwriters out there right now that could possibly be tuning in?
I would just say bust your ass, man, every day. And don't stop writing songs and don't stop playing songs. It's like a fucking roller coaster. There's going to be a lot of ups and downs. There's going to be a lot of learning curves. But, you know, when you get knocked down, it's up to you to get back up. And how you proceed from there is up to you.
Heck yeah, man. So are you going to be doing, like, some solo merch stuff? And
I have, you know, or I actually have been. I just came out with a run of T-shirts. I actually just sold out yesterday.
Damn it, I was going to buy one.
I'm having another run coming up next week, so I'll put
keep
you
posted,
one back.
Keep me posted, man. I'll text you my address.
I will take
care
of
PayPal you. That shit.
There you go. Hell, I'll just send you one. Don't fucking PayPal me shit.
Deal. Works for me, man. I'm actually working on a line of merch myself. I'm just going to get, like, two designs of T-shirts done, and then have a bunch of stickers. But, like, since I'm not touring, I'm not doing whatever, I'm just going to have an online store, you know. But, like, you know, for instance, like, you know, well, shit, we'll just trade shirts when I get one printed up.
Absolutely.
But, you know, that's my plan, is, like, to give them out to artists. And, you know, if I have any, I hate to call them fans, because I don't, you know, if I have any people that like what I'm doing that want, you know, some of my shit, yeah, we'll make that happen. But
there,
like,
you go.
It's all marketing. It's all.
Absolutely. Instagram, Facebook, all that shit's a hell of a tool.
Dude, has social media been a hard part for you, trying to get this kicked back off, or? Because it's kicking my, like, with the podcast. Like, I'm not gonna lie, like I am not social media savvy at all. Like, I know how to like and remove a tag from something, Like, there that's really about it, man. Like, I'm not well typed. I'm not well spoken. So, like, for me, that's a hard thing. Like, is it a struggle for you as well, or not so hot?
Man, I don't know. I've never really put a lot of emphasis into it. I mean, I know it's a really important tool and it does help out a lot, but I've just used it to say, hey, you know, I'm playing here tonight. Mm-hmm. I'd really love it if you come see me. You know, that kind of shit. I can make a post and tell right. people where I'm going to be.
So are you using that on, do you have like a Zach McGinn music page? Or
I've just got my personal Instagram page, honestly.
Okay.
I got rid of Facebook about a year ago, and it was the best fucking thing I ever did.
Dude, I debate on it all the fucking time, but it keeps me up to date on things.
Yeah.
I get drunk and post shit. That's where I get sideways with it.
Here you go. Just try this, dude. Just deactivate it for a week.
Might have to do that. Get one of my page admins to handle shit for me or something.
It's always there if you ever want to get back on that shit again, but I promise you, after a week, you won't miss it.
Gonna have to give this a try, for sure. So, do you have much cell service out where you're at? Has that kind of helped you keep off the social media a little bit?
I don't really have much cell service. I've got Wi-Fi at the house that really helps me. So, you know, when I get home in the evening, I check shit, you
right.
know, for 10 or 15 minutes, and that's about it.
Yeah. See, I grew up in the Hondo Valley in New Mexico, out in the middle of fucking nowhere. That seems to be where I'm from and probably where I'm going to wind up eventually. But I remember the first cell phone that my family had. And, like, if we had to make a call, it was 15 miles back out of the valley so that you could have enough cell service to make a call out.
Oh, yeah.
And it, you know, or get a call in or some shit like that. So, I mean, of course, that was back when landlines were predominant.
Yeah.
So,
My dad was the last holdout in West Texas to have a bag phone.
Dude, those things were fucking awesome.
Dude. Now, true or false, I was looking up the other day because I've seriously considered getting one if you can even put one into production again. I saw some for sale the other day online, and I've seen several posts where people can get on with their servers and you got to do a bunch of little extra shit, but you can actually make a bag phone still work.
Dude, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, hell, they can jailbreak a fucking, you know, Fire Stick or whatever to bring you shit that's streaming live on pay-per-view. Like, you would think there's some nerd or, like you said, some rancher's kid or something that's got it figured out that can slap a SIM card in an old bag phone and, you know, throw it up in the cake truck. Like, that's the way it ought to be. I don't know why a lot of rural people, I mean, other than cost, obviously, I don't know why a lot of, like, ranchers and things haven't gone to, like a satellite cell provider, you know what I mean? Because I know that you can rig those up to a bag phone, or you early 2000s, you could still do that. I don't know about now. Like I said, I haven't seen a bag phone in use since 2005.
I haven't 2004. Either, but if there's a way possible, I think I'm going to be bringing it back.
You should, man, and put it in the fucking band van, or the you know, your rig, or whatever you're taking.
I'm also going to, when I get this record recorded, pretty sure I'm going to have a limited run of cassette tapes made.
Dude, cassettes are taking back off. I was dating a girl earlier this year, and she is fucking bonkers for cassettes, and kind of got my fire lit up about it, too. It was like, you know, maybe, I'm not going to say it's the next vinyl, but, like, that'd be, I mean, hell, Shooter Jennings releases a few albums every year in cassette. Like, that's, I mean, why the fuck not, dude?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few guys tapping back into it. You know, it all kind of started as a joke. With Ben, you know, Josh produce everything that I do, but I called Ben one day. I said, hey man, if you keep fucking with me, I'm going to send everything I have to you on all my scratch stuff on cassette tape, and that's how you're going to have to listen to it.
Right.
And then from that point on, I was like, you know what, I think I'm going to put out a cassette tape.
Dude, why the fuck not? I mean, bring the old school Walkman back, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, I don't know, the we'll call it the device that I live in, still has a cassette player, like, in the cabinets. And it's fucking awesome because it runs over the PA. And so, like, you know, I can plug in, like, the old school adapters that had the headphone jack. We could plug it into a CD player. You know, now that we've got phones, it's in the birth of the auxiliary cord.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes in the cassette. But it's like, why the fuck aren't I listening to cassettes at my house?
Dude, you should be if you're not already.
I just don't have any cassettes, man. That's been the problem right now. I probably could have got custody of some, but I was too lazy.
Thrift store it up, dude. Guarantee you
well,
can
we've
find
got,
some.
You know, here's a non-paid plug, but fucking there's a joint here in town called Ralph's Records. I know still sells cassettes and shit. So probably going to have to go give them a check out. I got a N64 game earlier there last year.
Wow.
Dude, again, the fucking women I date, but one of the girls that I was seeing for a while, still one of my really good friends, had her N64 from childhood, and when we were living together, she just got it out of storage and was like, I'm going to kick your ass at GoldenEye, and she did. She mopped the fucking floor with me. I'm horrible at that game, but she's never beat me at Smash Brothers, so I've got that.
There you go. You've always got Smash Brothers.
Dude, honestly, that's the last console I played seriously, like, on video games. I owned a PlayStation 2, and it was more of just a DVD player, but, like, they've got all this shit now. Like, I've never had an Xbox. You know, I know what Call of Duty is, but I don't know what the buttons are. You know, shit like that. Fucking, I just never got into video games.
I think I had a Super Nintendo.
Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah. And then I had a, what else did I have? What was the next one after Nintendo?
Sega? The Genesis?
Yep. Yeah. I had a Sega. And then I had the PlayStation 1.
The original PlayStation.
And that was all.
Dude, back when Laura's cross tits looked like fucking road cones.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, those to look back at the graphics, hell, even of movies back in the day, man, it's crazy how much technology has advanced, man. Do you I don't know, do you think that that's going to affect music more in depth like it has affected visual media in the next few years?
Man, I think it really already has.
I mean, other than, like, streaming, obviously, you know, you got the internet and Spotify and all that fucking shit, you know, and digital recording and what all, but, like, do you see any huge, like, technological advancements in audio editing or recording like we've seen in visual media?
I don't know, man. They're coming up with new shit every day that's beyond my reach. So, right. You're talking to the wrong guy for technology.
I don't know shit about technology either, just throwing it out there. But, shit, man, what are some of the things that you listen to out in the feed truck, you know, when you're... You know, not necessarily your musical influences, but, like, what are you fucking jamming right now?
To be honest, man, I've probably been stuck on it for about 5 years, and that's Guy Clark.
That's a good one to be stuck on, my dude.
I mean, I listen to a lot of shit, but that's probably still my go-to every day.
Isn't he originally from Monahans?
Monahans, Texas. Yep.
Like our good friend Mr. Danny Sodra.
Indeed.
The redheaded danger himself. So, but, I don't know, you know, there's been a lot of good music. A lot of good musicians come from West Texas. Do you think the climate, the barrenness, the isolation of it all, like, helps to build that? Or
absolutely.
Or, like, what do you think it is about this area of Texas that just does this to fucking people?
I think, you know, there's a certain loneliness about it, and there is a certain romance to West Texas that... Not a lot of people get or understand unless they're from this area. But, you know, growing up as a kid, you know, you really don't have a lot. There's not a lot of shit to do out here. So you have to be creative. You know, you got to find things to do and create your own fun, per se. And
without getting arrested.
Yeah, absolutely. But, man, I think that's where a lot of the creativity comes from out here is just ingenuity. People, you know, they get out, they're not really worried about... all the other shit that's going on around them. It's just getting up and living. And, you know, just like songwriting shit, you know, you might not write a song for 2 months, but you might sit down one day and write, you know, one or a handful of songs. And doesn't mean that you didn't necessarily have something to say in those 2 months, but, you know, all that might come out at one time just from fucking living, getting out and doing shit.
What's your songwriting pattern been like recently?
Sporadic. I get some good ideas, you know, and I'll either jot them down if I'm close to a pen and paper, or I'll, you know, type them in my notes on my phone or the audio or whatever. And I've been jamming with a few guys out there. I just sat down and wrote a song with Brandon Adams the other day.
Nice. BA is one of my favorites.
Yeah. You know, BA and I have been friends for several years, and we've never found the time to sit down and write. So I called him up a couple weeks back and said, look, man, fuck whatever else is going on, let's sit down, we're gonna write a song. And he came out, man, and we wrote a pretty damn good one, I think. And I might play it tonight, so we'll see what happens.
Well, intro it. Well, you know, I'll be here, man, just intro with it. This is one I wrote with Brandon Adams, so that I fucking know. So, but dude, BA is one of my favorites. Actually, I had a, before this one, I had a majorly failing podcast that actually got me into radio, and Brandon Adams was one of my first guests.
Hell yeah.
So, and he's, when I moved to Lubbock, you know, I was interested in in the music scene. I'm not a singer-songwriter. I'm not a musician. I'm not a performer. I mean, I can play. I've written music. You know, I sing to my steering wheel decently. But I the last thing I'm going to claim is to be one of you guys. But, like, I still had my passion in the scene. And BA was one of the first people to give me a shot. He was like, you know, come hang out with me. Like, this is my songwriting process. This is what I'm doing. Come hang out. Come help me break down stage, stuff like that. And so he's... Dude's heart's almost as big as his beard. Like, yeah, it's nuts.
You're not going to find a finer human being or songwriter than Brandon Adams.
Dude, he's, in my opinion, he's one of the most underrated people ever. Mm-hmm. Ever. Borderline Towns Van Zandt status, you know what I mean?
I think so. There's a lot of shit there that people, you know, haven't heard from Brandon yet. And he's just such a fucking great writer.
He is. Dude, Charlie Shafter's going to be putting out a new album after the first of the year. And I'm excited to hear. I got a chance to talk with him a couple of weeks ago. I was on a run with... Charlie Robinson was slinging some merch for him, and we'd played a gig. Charlie Shafter was there, and I mean, just talking shop with him, and you know, he's excited for this new record. I am too, man. Fucking Charlie Shafter's another one of those, like, if you don't fucking know, you should,
yeah,
kind of things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Shafter's great. Hell, there's a lot of just great fucking songwriters just here in Lubbock alone.
Dude, this is a blessed state. I mean, yeah, we're blessed here in the 806 for sure, but I mean. I don't know, like, I've said this many times on the podcast, and if you've heard this before, I don't fucking care. I'm sorry, get used to it. But, like, I'm from New Mexico, and there's not dick for music there. There's not. So when I came here, the one reason I was so interested is it was so fucking new. Like, oh, you mean there's just, like, local people that are, like, giving this a shot and doing something? Like, holy shit. Like, you know, this is, Texas is just a breeding ground for greatness, man.
It really is, man. Shit, there's a lot of opportunity here. There really is. This scene in general has given birth an opportunity to a lot of guys that might not have had a chance, you know, otherwise to get out and play their shit. But, yeah, just breeds fucking great music in this state.
Heck yeah. So you were saying earlier you have some gigs lined up after the first of the year. What are they, my man?
It's kind of few and far between. I'll be coming back up here to Blue Light for the Hangover Ball.
Nice.
On the first, and then I'll be going to Stephenville and San Angelo and just kind of local stuff, you know, for a few months, and then I'll be heading out to go to Elko in February, and I'll be playing up through, you know, Colorado and some of the mountain states, going up and then back down, and then that's really kind of all I've got booked at the moment. But I'll be putting together a more extensive spring and summer schedule, you know, as it rolls closer to time.
Very nice. And where would we be able to find that schedule when you get it up?
Honestly, my Instagram is probably about the only place you can find it. I may get my lazy ass going and create a website, but if I do, the link to that will be on my Instagram.
Heck yeah, man. And your Instagram is?
Zach McGinn.
At Zach McGinn, man. There you have it, from the dude himself. And that, of course, we can find all of your old material, Jolly Shine, on Spotify, iTunes, all that good stuff.
Yep. Anywhere you can get music, online or physical copies, you can pick up a copy of a record somewhere.
Heck yeah, man. Well, looking forward to the fucking show tonight. Looking forward to the new material that you're going to be playing for us. Looking forward to the new record. And don't fucking hurt yourself breaking colts, my dude.
I'll try not to, man.
Right on. Again, thank you guys for listening. I want to give a shout out to our first official sponsor, and they are Supply Chain Management here in Lubbock, Texas. Check them out, supplychainmgt.net. And this has been another episode of the fucking Quaid Things podcast, you know? You know, don't kick dogs, tell your mom you love her, and don't be a fucking asshole. We'll catch you guys next week.